All right. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. So, the giving, the generosity of this church is part of what makes that ministry possible. So we want to thank you for that. All right. Let's pray together, shall we, before we get into the scripture. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for just all the amazing things you're doing in and through this church family. God, we're humbled before you to see just what you're doing around us. And we are grateful that you've given us opportunities to be a part of it. God, we pray this morning that as we open our ears and our hearts to hear you, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that of all the words that are spoken, the word that we will hear will be your word. And we pray that that would be good news to us. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 10. It's probably a familiar story to you. It's Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. So we just start by reading it together. It'll be on the screen if you want to follow along in your Bibles. I encourage you to, open your app on your phone, or if you still have the paper kind, you can open that and open to Luke chapter 10. It says, "Now as they went on their way," this is Jesus and his disciples, "he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We live in a busy society. Do I have to argue that point, or do you, that can be left alone? It's true, right? It almost goes without saying. The first line of a 2016 article for John Hopkins Health Review entitled "The Cult of Busy" says that there's a global epidemic of overscheduling, and it's ruining our health. That article went on to say that more than one-third of Americans say they don't have enough time in their day to get things done. This is beyond just regular busy. This is one-third of Americans don't have enough time in the day to get things done. Work hours bleeding into home life and a prevailing belief that we need to do it all and do it well have created a feeling of constant activity. Gallup polls show that our hectic schedules correlate with a precipitous increase in anxiety. The majority of Americans who report not having enough spare time also say they battle stress. You likely don't need studies and surveys to convince you that we're a time-starved culture. Simply ask someone how he or she is doing, and the likely response is, "I'm busy," right? I'm guilty of this myself, right? Often, if you ask me at any given moment of my day how I'm doing, and I have to elaborate, I will probably at some point use the word busy. And I've become aware of that's kind of everybody's answer, right? To the point where it's almost embarrassing sometimes I catch myself saying, "I'm busy." Well, yeah, always busy. But it's not a dishonest answer. I mean, it's true. that there's a lot going on. Many of us are feeling that, even in the summer, perhaps especially if you helped with VBS, right? It's busy, right? Life is busy. And we sort of wear it as a badge of honor in our society. Even though we may kind of be embarrassed about it at some level, we also sort of know that if we answered the question, well, I don't really have much going on, I really just sit around. That like we feel like we would never answer that question, right? Because people would judge us, or maybe they'd find something else for us to do, probably, but right? We wouldn't be comfortable, even if it was true, we wouldn't be comfortable saying, oh yeah, I don't really do much. It's like taboo in our culture, in our society. I think in many ways, this use of our time has actually replaced stuff. Bear with me here. This isn't to say that materialism isn't still a thing, that our possessions don't still at some level possess us often. That's still a real problem. But I really think that the newer problem, the bigger problem is our time. Our busyness is now how we measure up, how we compare ourselves to others. Where we used to compare ourselves to one another according to what we could possess, what we could buy, now we seem to compare ourselves according to how much we do, how busy we are. Being busy is how we keep up with the Joneses now. I think that's true in many ways. I think that's actually true with churches. And at the risk of kind of getting into a little bit of insider baseball with church talk, if you kind of think about how people judge the health of a church, maybe their own church, or they're comparing their church to another church, a lot of times it's all about how much they're doing, how many activities we have on a list. And if we have more than the other church, we must be a better church, right? We're offering more stuff, more resources, more time-consuming things that you can do. This happens at the larger level. If you go to our church annual conference, how many of you have been to that in Wildwood? If you've been to the annual conference, and you listen carefully to kind of what are we celebrating here, and you listen kind of to the many reports that kind of get sprinkled in the daily business of that conference, the churches and the ministries that we tend to celebrate are the ones that are getting the most done. A vital church is one that's doing a lot. And we judge the health of a church by how much it's doing. And rarely do we say, this church isn't healthy because they have too many ministries, right? It's just not on our vocabulary. It's not how we think of it. But maybe we should. Because I think we can get really distracted and we can get really confused thinking that ministry is just about doing more and more things. There are all kinds of reasons that I think this has happened in our society, and I'm not really here to figure out how we got here, but I think it's a symptom of our very sense of identity. Our identity as individuals is caught up in what we do. Again, staying busy is kind of a badge of honor. We believe that we are what we do, right? Can you kind of say you might be guilty of that every once in a while? If somebody says, who are you? First thing you're probably going to say is what you do or did as a vocation, right? How many of you have seen the movie Batman Begins? Just Meg? Are you telling me that Meg's the only person that went and saw Batman Begins? Okay, a few of you. All right, Batman Begins. This is the first of the Batman movies with Christian Bale in them, right? Oh, you really? Okay. Bob, you saw it, right? Yeah, of course Bob saw it. Batman Begins As with every Batman story, right, is, you know, Bruce Wayne is Batman, right? That's, sorry, I gave it away. That's his secret identity. And there's always this kind of tension throughout the story, throughout the movie. If you're reading a comic book, there's always some tension, right, between Bruce Wayne's identity and his identity as Batman. And in Batman Begins, it's no different when he has this close friend named Rachel Dawes who sort of judges Bruce Wayne for kind of throwing his life away, not doing good. She's really trying to do all this good in the world. And she thinks Bruce Wayne is kind of just wasting his life because... you know, he's not doing anything good for the world. She doesn't know that at night he goes out and fights bad guys all the time, which is really, I think, counterproductive most of the time in Batman stories. But anyway, that's another note. But in Batman Begins, there's this theme that's developed that kind of says actions speak louder than words, which is true and good, but I think the point gets a little overstated in the movie. And there's a short clip I just want to show you where Rachel and Batman meet. Rachel knows Bruce Wayne, but doesn't know Batman, who Batman is. And they meet, he saves her, and she asks his name, and he says something. So let's watch the clip. But you just want to finish the movie now? Is that good? No, I will still finish my sermon, so if you want to stick around that long, no, okay. What does he say? She says, at least tell me your name, you might die. And he says, it's not who I am on the inside, it's what I do that defines me. And you can, he needs a lozenge or something. So, but Batman says, it's not what I am on the inside, it's what I do that defines me. I think his point may be a little overstated. Let's go back to our story of Mary and Martha. Martha has welcomed Jesus into her home. It says she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was so busy serving Jesus, trying to do good things, that she forgot what was most important, actually being with Jesus. She got so distracted in her doing that she forgot about being. I've heard it said that you are not a human doing, you are a human being, right? It's a little sort of a pithy, right? If you haven't heard that before, I made that up. No. I didn't make that up. Somebody else did. But I think it's true, as silly as it kind of sounds, that we can get so caught up in thinking that we are what we do. It's what I do that defines me, that we can forget to stop and be. We can forget that our actions should only ever be an extension of who we are. On the inside, maybe. Maybe Martha watched too much Batman or something. I don't know if, I mean, Batman's pretty old, right? It could be about the same time. Yeah, okay. So maybe. But Martha thought that her value to God boiled down to her ability to do stuff for God. But Jesus says to her, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. There's really just need of one thing. Just one thing. If someone says, how are you doing? You say, well, I'm just doing one thing, right? they'd want to add to that list for you, right? Do we find ourselves in this pattern of getting so busy trying to do good things that we forget to just be, that we forget that our value is not wrapped up in our ability to do those things? I think around here, I think we do a pretty good job. I think our ministries here do a pretty good job of remembering why we're doing them. But there's always this risk, right? And I talked a little about this with our leadership of VBS, that there's a risk with VBS that it could become kind of one of those things. When I first arrived at this church, it was very clear to me that we knew how to do VBS, right? It's like day one, this church is a well-oiled machine when it comes to VBS. Everybody just kind of knows what they're doing, and it sort of happens, and everybody gets involved, and it's this amazing, beautiful thing. But we can get into the habit of seeing these things as just a program that we're putting on. We can begin to think that our VBS, and along with other ministries, is just kind of another thing on the list of the stuff that makes us a healthy church. And we can forget that this is a ministry, and that the most important thing isn't to make sure that the tree stands tall enough. Although Jay and Kathy, great job getting the tree to stand tall enough. That was good. They're not here, but where are they? Yeah. But the most important thing is that we encounter God. Not just that the kids who come encounter God, that's of course central to us, but that we encounter God as ministers, that we encounter God in the lives of young people in our church. That's actually a good way to know that you're doing good ministry, is if you yourself can say that you encounter God in the people that you're ministering to. Because if you're just kind of doling out a resource and you don't actually see God in the person that you're serving, you might just be doing work. It might not be ministry. A lot of times we think that ministry is about all the things that we can do for God. And we think that ministry boils down to just doing good things, being really busy, and doling out resources. But ministry, and the when I say ministry, I'm talking about what you have been called to do as Christians, what the church has been invited by God to do. When we peel back all its layers, ministry is really just about being with Jesus, being with the one true minister, and encountering God. This doesn't mean that we don't do anything, right? It gets a little confusing in the story that Martha may in fact be doing the right stuff, but she's missing out on the most important thing. If we really understand what it means to encounter God, to be with Jesus, we're not going to be able to help ourselves but to do ministry, to do works of justice and creativity and ministries that transform people's lives. We're going to want to be a part of all that. But I want you to hear this morning. You are not what you do. Your value does not come from what you can accomplish. It does not come from how many things are left unchecked on your to-do list. It does not come from the grade you got on that report card. It does not come from the number on your paycheck. Your value comes from one place. It comes from the fact that you are loved by God. That's it. You don't have to do anything for that. It's just who you are. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus did not say, "Come and I'll give you another few things to add to your list," right? Although sometimes churches treat it that way, don't we? And I am sorry that we do that sometimes. Come be a part of our ministry. Here's 10 new tasks to add to your week. No, my hope and our hope and the hope I think that God has for this church and for you as an individual is that when you are called to Jesus, you'll be invited to rest. To know that you don't have to do anything to earn this. And that what you do is always a response, a free and gracious response to having encountered the loving God who is alive among us. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for just the incredible week that we had at VBS this week. God, we thank you for everything you did in the lives of all the people here during the past week, whether or not it was with VBS. God, we are grateful that you have called us not to be human doings, but to just be, to be human beings who are caught up in your love. Thank you that our value has already been determined and that we are your children, that you love us. Help us to receive your grace and help us to receive with gratitude your love for us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.